Good morning. Those of you that have met me and interacted with me, I usually don't seem very nervous at all. I'm pretty outgoing. But I got to admit that when it comes to a time of speaking and teaching, I get very nervous. And I'm a little leery because I want to make sure that God speaks through me. So I would just ask that you would join me in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, it is such a good morning. And we thank you for who you are, for your goodness, for your love, and for that grace that washes over us. Lord, be with me now this morning, and may the words that come from my mouth be coming straight from yours. Speak right through me, Lord, and let this not be about me or any of the words that I have to say, but it be all about you and everything that you want us to hear. May I help to encourage this body and help draw them closer to you and draw myself closer to you, Lord. I pray for your spirit to anoint this group and anoint this time this morning and be with us and bless us. I lift this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take a look at Romans chapter 12 this morning. It's something that's been, God's been laying on my heart for a while now. Amy Jo, when did we do that Bible study? Last summer, something like that. We did a study on Romans chapter 12, and I know that for all of us that were involved, it was a great time of coming together before God and growing closer to Him and growing closer to one another. So if you have your Bibles, please open up to Romans chapter 12. I'm reading out of the NIV. Paul writes to us this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently, and if it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." It's packed full of a lot of stuff, and I know that's a lot. But the focus is today, I feel God's leading me, and first off, I want to say that I am a sinner saved by grace, and by no means am I hitting this mark, or do I ever think that I will be perfect here on this life, but I know that Christ is, and through His Holy Spirit is transforming my life and teaching me and renewing me every day. And Paul starts out, I think sometimes we look at Scripture and we just read it like, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies." When I read this, I hear the inflection in Paul's voice, and it's a, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, in view of what He's done, I urge you, I encourage you, listen, I think it's too often we as Christians in this world, we just slack off with the way we live, with what we believe and what we take from God's word. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us, and he poured out all his wrath and all that iniquity came on Christ at that time. And in view of that awesome act that he did through Christ, through saving us, becoming redeemed, Paul's saying, offer yourselves up, offer your life. That's what you have to give to Christ. You have your life holy and pleasing to God. Make it holy, make it pleasing. It's your act of worship. You turn your lives over to him and give him all that he deserves, which is your life. He created you. And then in verse 2, Paul comes in with a negative command. He's like, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. And then he follows it up, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I don't know about you guys, but I think we live in a world that is so easy to follow along with their pattern. It's so easy to just slip right in and do everything that they're doing and follow, you know, we watch TV, we watch movies, even interacting with kids at school or people, coworkers in our workplace, and it's easy just to go along. It's hard to be different. It's hard to go against the grain. It's hard to do what the scripture tells us, to do what Jesus commanded, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So when we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and we ask the Spirit to come in and change us, it renews and re-educates us and redirects our minds and our thinking upward towards the Father. And we get in line with what his will is, his goals, his service in this world, and his furtherance of his kingdom. But it doesn't come until we surrender our lives. We have to be surrendered and separate. And that's what we're looking at here in these first two verses. And it's easy to separate ourselves from worldly customs, but still have a lot of pride, have a lot of selfishness, have a lot of arrogance. But we need to ask God's Spirit to come in and continually change us and keep renewing us and transforming our lives so that we are different, so that people see when they meet us that we are a reflection of Christ, not that we ourselves are some bright, beaming light in this world, but that we are like a moon and Christ is reflecting off of us and shining a light. We continue in verse 3, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. I think too often it's very easy to think too low of ourselves. I think we get so down on ourselves, like, oh man, I just can't do this. I don't know what to do. But really what we're seeing here is think of yourself with a sober judgment, with the right mindset. God created you. You're great. You're his master creation. So think of yourself the way God thinks of you and how he loves you and pours out his life. He poured out his son's life for you. And please just remember that. And as we continue in verse 4, if I stumble around, I'm sorry, but that happens. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Prophesying in this case is like giving a message, speaking, and a lot of times it's a sometimes I've experienced it where it's just an instant, God flows through a person and gives a message. But what Paul's saying here is we as believers in Christ, we form a body. Not everybody has the same function. What good is an eye if the toes were an eye, if everything had the same function? People have weaknesses and strengths, and those people with their weaknesses, other people that have their strengths plug right into their weaknesses, and we work together. We need to be Jesus' hands and feet in this world. We need to be going out and working together as a body, as one unit, to share the light of Christ in this world. And so when you look at that, maybe sometimes after following this up with look at yourself with sober judgment, think of yourself the way you ought to think. Don't think of yourself too high. Don't think of yourself too low, because God has gifted you with something. He's given you something that he just specifically designed for you and a purpose that he designed for you to carry out. And find that, understand what that is. Ask God to reveal that to you so that you can help encourage others and just go along as the body of Christ. As we continue to look through Romans chapter 12, Paul really starts bringing the hammer down on love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Who is good at honoring one another above yourselves? I know I'm not sometimes. Sometimes I really slip up there. And we have this mentality in this world. We as people just want to further ourselves, put ourselves on the pedestal, and forget everybody else. But what we hear here is honor one another above yourselves. And Jesus said that, love your neighbor as yourself. How do you want to be treated? You don't want to be kicked to the curb, not treated well, and people not forgiving you when you've done a wrong sin, not showing graciousness to you. So give it out, measure it back, and it'll be measured back to you. Give it out to people. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. God's given us passion. There's passion in our lives. A passion to serve him, to want to do more, to give back to people and show them God's love in your life and what he's been doing. So my prayer is that we would all be fired up a lot of times to serve Christ, and we'd be sharing that with people. And I know we go through hard times in our lives. I know what that's like. And I'm only going to be 25 on Saturday, and I've got a lot of living left to do. But we need to, in our times of affliction, just be patient, trusting that God is going to bring us through that, trusting that he has a plan. And what he requires of us is to pray, to be faithful in that, to be trusting him, to be seeking his will in that situation. And share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. It's not easy, and sometimes we don't do a good job of that. And practice hospitality, that's not hosting. Hosting is like everybody comes over to your house and the focus is on the host. Everything has to be clean. Everything has to be neat. But really, hospitality is focusing on that person that you come in contact with, focusing on your guests rather than how you may be portrayed. And bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There's a lot packed into that last part there. I think oftentimes we've been wronged by people, and we're not so willing to forgive, are we? I know that I want them to get what they deserve, and I'm so mad that they did this to me, and they hurt me, and all this stuff, and I just want what I deserve. But that's not what God desires of us. God's telling us to forgive as I have forgiven you. I mean, where would we be if God wasn't a forgiving, gracious, loving God? Because it'd just be horrible. So therefore, because he's so good, because he's faithful in that, because he forgives so freely, who are we to say we're not going to forgive someone? Who are we to not bear with one another in brotherly love? Who are we not to just come alongside someone and rejoice with them, mourn with them, be with them? That's what we need to do as Christians. That's what we need to be doing. Forgiving one another. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. You know, if you show love and compassion and kindness to someone who's done you wrong, who's your enemy, imagine the outcome that will happen. And the heaping burning coals on is, it may refer to an Egyptian tradition of carrying a pan of burning charcoal on one's head, pouring it out on one's head as a public act of repentance. If you show someone love, you show them compassion, right before them, you've served them up a plate of their sinfulness, and they're like, oh, maybe I need to repent, because what everybody in this world expects is to act the same way that everybody does, to just have that revenge and treat them the way everybody else has. But we need to be different. We need to be showing people that we're different. We're separate. We're surrendered. We're changed. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that can only happen through the indwelling of Christ's Holy Spirit in our lives. It can only happen that He is good, God is good, and when we're daily seeking Him, daily surrendering Him, taking up our cross, living sacrifices, are we going to be able to overcome evil with good. I have a story to share that pretty much, after thinking about it, covers this whole chapter. 2 years ago, I came in contact with a pretty neat man. It was an amazing time for me. Some of you have heard this story, so I enjoy sharing this. 2 years ago, just a little background before the story, I grew up in a Trinity United Methodist Church in Winfield. After high school, I got working with the youth, and I became a youth co-coordinator, and we asked the church if they could let us use part of the social room downstairs as our devoted youth room. So they approved it, and we were painting, and I, through the business that I work at, my boss donated the paint, and he came over and helped me paint. So I was there working on a Friday after work. It was a Friday evening. Another gentleman from the church was there, and for this story, we'll call him Mr. T. His last name started with a T. I pity the fool. No, but Mr. T was there helping me paint. And we were having a pretty good time working on some stuff. And there was also another lady at the church, and she was Mrs. Z. And she was upstairs. Well, Mr. T and I were downstairs painting some door jams, trimming in some places. And Mrs. Z comes down and says, guys, there's someone here. You need to come upstairs. There's someone you need to meet. And so we look at each other. We're like, okay. We cleaned up our brushes and went upstairs. And I go out, and Mrs. Z and Mr. T, there's a landing. Is that going to make you guys laugh over here the whole time? I'll say, person A and person B. There's a landing out back of the church with steps going down to the parking lot. And they're standing over here. And over here is this homeless man. And he's just standing there. He looks in rough shape. He really needed some help. And it was funny because they didn't even greet him. They just stood off to the side, these two folks that were with me. They're in their like 40s and 50s. And so I look to them to take the lead in a lot of these situations. And they just kind of stood off. And I'm like, well, this isn't right. So I walked down the steps and I extended my hand. I'm like, guy probably thought I was crazy, but I'm like, hi, my name's Paul. It's good to see you here. I'm glad you're here. And he extended his hand out and he's like, my name is Marshall. And his hand, the palm of his hand was dry and withered, and just, you could tell that he hasn't been able to take care of himself for a long time. And he was carrying some bags of clothes he's been wearing, have been just on him for a very long time. And I mean, this man I never met, and I'm greeting him like, hey, it's good to see you. I'm glad you're here. That's kind of crazy. People don't just go up and do that. But I invited him in. And I said, well, actually, before I invited him in, I'm like, Marshall, what do you need? He's like, I want to go to Bloomsburg, and we're in Winfield. And I'm like, okay, well, do you just want to go to Haven Ministries in Sunbury? They can put you up for the night and help you along. I don't want to go to Haven Ministries. I've heard terrible things about that place. I don't want to go there. Well, the two people up on the landing were still up there on their high spot. I'm feeling like they're looking down on him, and they're like, well, why don't you go? You just need to go there. That's where you're going to get the help. I don't want to go there. And he's like, I know that I'm not going to get help here. And he was about ready to pick up his bags and leave. I'm like, hold on, Marshall. I'm like, why don't you come on inside? We'll get you something to drink, get you something to eat, and we'll talk about this. And so he finally came inside, and we went into the lounge, and I called my mom. I live right next to the church. Like, literally from this end of the stage to this end of the stage is my mom's house and the church. So not very far at all. I called my mom, and I'm like, hey, Mom, I have a friend here at the church. Could you make a couple sandwiches? He's hungry. Bring some food over for him. And she's like, sure. So she made like 2 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and brought him over. And I was talking to Marshall, just starting to get to know him, talking about where he's been, what he's been doing. And Mr. T proceeded to go and call the Lewisburg police, because Marshall said he came from Lewisburg. He was traveling down from Lewisburg. He called the Lewisburg police, and the Lewisburg police told him, he's been wandering around for a long time. Don't pay him any attention. Just send him on his way. Don't do anything with him. And so this guy really just wanted to send Marshall right out the door without doing anything for him. And he's like, he comes back in and he starts questioning Marshall. He's like, why were you there? And what were you doing? And Marshall again said, I can see that I'm just not going to get the help that I need here. And he's like, I'm just going to leave. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Marshall, you just sit down for a second. And I called these two folks that were older than me into the back hallway. And I'm like, listen, guys, let me handle this. I'm like, just trust me on this one. Just let me go about this. And so I went back in and I'm like, Marshall, could I pray for you? He's like, sure. So we had a time of prayer and just asked God to bless that time and be with us. And after that prayer, I looked at him and I'm like, Marshall, I'm going to take you to Bloomsburg. Because what's running through my mind right now is, you know what, God? You gave me a truck. You gave me a free night. You gave me gas. You've given me money. Why can't I go and do this? Why can't I help this man? If he wants to go to Bloomsburg, help me to serve him and serve you through this time. And so I'm like, Marshall, let's load up your stuff and let's go. And these two other people that were with me, they're like, are you sure you want to go? That might be dangerous. I'm like, my God is bigger than that. And I trust that he's going to take care of me through this time. And I'm not worried if he's going to take advantage of me, because God at this point is asking me to serve. And he's calling on my heart to turn my life over and be a living sacrifice and be transformed, be different at this time. So I did. And we went up 15, got on 80, and we were heading out to Bloomsburg. And we're getting close to the Danville exit. And then Marshall and I are carrying a conversation. He's telling me about where he's been and what he's done in his life. He's in his like mid to late 60s. And I hear this small, still voice say, give him your Bible. And I'm like, looking around in the truck, I'm like, well, the only person here is Marshall. What's going on? And I hear it again. It's like, give him your Bible. And I'm like, what? It's like, give him your Bible. At this point, I'm starting to argue with this voice. I'm like, internally, I'm like, I'm not giving him my Bible. What are you, crazy? That's my personal Bible. I had highlights in it. I had notes, my name's in it. It was given to me by, actually, I purchased that one. This one was given to me by my mother, actually. But it was very personal to me, okay? It was very personal to me. But I kept hearing this, give him your Bible. And at that point, I'm like, psh, I don't want to listen to this. And I'm just going to push that off to the side, and I keep talking to Marshall. So I didn't listen to that voice the rest of the ride over there. We pull into downtown Bloomsburg. He's like, oh, just let me off here. So we pull into a parking spot. And he goes to open the door, and he cracks it open. I'm like, Marshall, hang on. Because I just felt like this pushing down on me, like, do this, Paul. I'm like, okay. I'm like, Marshall, I have no idea why I'm going to do this, but I feel like the Lord wants me to give you my Bible. And so I reach behind his seat, and I grab it. And he's like, no, I can't take that. I'm like, yes, you can. I'm like, this is my Bible. This is something I'm freely giving to you. I'm like, I said to him, the words that are in here hold life, and if you apply them to your life, just imagine the things that can go on. And I want you to remember this day that there are people in this world that are going to care about you, that are going to love you, and that they will give of themselves to provide for you. And I hope that you remember this. Take this Bible, read it every day, and apply it every day. And he thanked me, and he got out, and I never saw the man again. I have no idea where he is, what God's been doing with Marshall, what's become of the Bible that I gave him. Who knows, maybe he passed that on to someone. But he closed the door, and I drive off, and I swing around the block, and I start openly weeping. And I'm just like, Father. I'm like, I was just crying, bawling my eyes out. I was so overwhelmed. I'm like, Father, I hope you're proud of me. I hope that this is what you want me to do as a young man who's dedicating his life to you. I pray that this is the way you want me to show love to people and the way you want me to be transformed and to be different. And I'm starting to tear up because it was just a great day. And I get back on Interstate 80, and for those of you that I haven't told, my father and I did not have a good relationship when I was younger. We barely talk even now. He lives in Florida. I mean, we talk maybe once a month. But at this time, we were not communicating. We didn't communicate my whole time through high school. And remember this prayer that I prayed, Father, I hope you're proud of me. Well, I get back on Interstate 80, and out of the blue, my father calls me, my dad, my earthly father. And he's like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, crying over the phone. I'm like, I just took this homeless man to Bloomsburg. I gave him my Bible. I don't know what I'm doing. And like, I'm telling him all this stuff. I'm like a wreck. And the first words out of his mouth are, Paul, I'm proud of you. And I'll tell you what, guys, like, if you don't believe that God still speaks and you don't believe that he answers prayer, I can assure you that he does. And I've experienced it in other times in my life. But to hear my father say that was a reassurance that my heavenly father was there with me and he was listening to the prayers that I was praying and that he was carrying me the whole way through it. And I wound up going and have dinner with my dad and told him all about it and my stepbrother. And I realized, looking back at it, that that was more of a time for me and a time of growth for me than it was even for Marshall. It was a blessing for me. And I hope it was a blessing. I know it was a blessing for Marshall. There's been a couple other instances where I've been able to reach out to people, but that is one that really sums up Romans chapter 12. In view of what God's done for us, who he is, who he's created us to be, that we offer our lives every day, taking up our cross, freely giving what gifts he's given us to share with other people, being sincere in our love, being separated, and all that stuff. I just pray that you guys have those experiences and that you can share in my journey, in our journey as Christians to become Romans 12 Christians. And a lot of times our attitudes need to change and we need to ask God to change our attitudes and be different and allow his spirit to change us. Because oftentimes we don't want to do this. We read it, but we don't want to do it because it may seem too hard. But with God, everything is possible. And he's going to take us through, and he's going to carry us through. So I pray that if you have stories, please share it with one another. It edifies the whole body. It encourages one another. It spurs us on in our faith so that we can continue to serve God in mighty ways and further his kingdom in this earth. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the sacrifice you made on the cross. Taking on all our sin, everything, and just, it was all poured on Jesus at that time on the cross. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be changed, that we would be renewed, that we would be transformed, changing the way we live and separating ourselves from the pattern of this world. We know it's not easy, and we cannot do it under our own power. But Lord, I pray that your spirit would guide us and shape us and mold us, and every day, we become more and more like Christ, more and more like you, Lord. Please be with us this rest of this morning, and may we offer you the praise and the thanksgiving that you are worthy of, and that unashamed love that needs to be proclaimed. Lord, we need you every day, every hour in our lives. Be with us. You are faithful and you are good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.